Hello, and welcome to the September issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Dr. Agnieszka Roginska. If you missed out on joining us for the 38th International Conference on Sound Quality held in Sweden recently, you can read all about the contributions and catch up on the debates in this month's conference report. While you're at it, don't forget to register and book your hotel for the audio event of the year, the 129th AES Convention, coming up from November 4th to the 7th in San Francisco. Register at aes.org. Meet your colleagues and keep up to date with all that's happening in the fast-moving world of audio engineering. In this month's Back of the Book article, Francis Rumsey takes a look at recent research on loudspeakers and rooms, finding out the latest from AES Convention contributions about ways of compensating for variations in low-frequency response. Among the technologies discussed are the use of resonators and absorbers, the use of multiple subwoofers known as chameleon arrays, and the performance of various room correction products. Staying with the topic of loudspeakers, we find out about how to model the intermod distortion of a coaxial loudspeaker in a paper by Edward DuPont and Stanley Lipschitz. This type of loudspeaker, where the woofer and tweeter are essentially mounted on the same axis, is known to produce intermod. In the model employed here, the woofer is treated as a baffled planar piston, while the tweeter is treated as an acoustic monopole located in front. Mathematical modeling is used to discover that intermod decreases as the tweeter is moved off-axis. Fritz Menzer and Christoph Fahler show us how the simulation of late reverberation might be improved by better understanding of perceptual cues relevant for the reverb tail. In a model designed to produce binaural impulse responses without early reflections, they compare the use of filtered white noise to create the tail instead of the original decay. Using subjective studies, they find that matching the interaural coherence in each frequency band produces better results than full band matching, while in some cases, time-dependent matching leads to improved quality. Well-engineered binaural impulse responses are also crucial in the design of electronic travel aids for the visually impaired, says a group of Polish authors led by Andrzej Dobrucki. They show an efficient means by which impulse responses for thousands of locations can be generated in about 10 minutes. Although the locations of virtual sound sources identified by listeners in tests showed errors of up to 24 degrees, this was considered sufficient for implementing obstacle sonification for travel aids. Palab Media and Bill Ruckner describe ways of achieving higher efficiency in digital PWM amplifiers in an engineering report this month. This is done by improving the large signal performance without increasing the power supply. The resulting system demonstrates THG values of 0.01% at power levels almost twice that of similar closed-loop systems. This month's Standards News brings updates on the status of work in forensic audio, as well as digital library and archive systems and audio metadata. You can find out what's been happening in some of the many worldwide sections of the Society in News of the Sections, as well as catching up on the latest products and people in the audio industry. This month, we carry an obituary for Albert Lassesse, longtime innovator of audio analysts who never passed up an opportunity to mentor his younger and less experienced colleagues. We hope you enjoy the September issue. We'll be back with further news and details of the latest research papers in audio engineering next month. We always welcome new members to the Society. Please go to www.aes.org/join. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Dr. Agnieszka Roginska. Thanks for listening.